acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Amen. You may be seated. So this gospel reading actually comes from the daily office of morning prayer this morning. And it spoke to me in a lot of ways. Andrew is a favorite of mine. He is my patron saint. His feast day is the 30th of November, which is my birthday. So Andrew and I have always been close. I have a 2-foot by 3-foot icon of him that a priest friend wrote for me. They're picky about the terminology. It's not a painting. They wrote the icon because the icon speaks. It's a window into heaven. And so Andrew prays for me, and I appreciate that. But he's always been special. So here we have Andrew, who saw Christ first. And I always thought that was cool because he got one up on his brother, who ended up being the one that was put in charge. So here we have Christ calling Peter out. And Cephas is Peter in the original language, but we know him as Peter. And he tells him he's a rock. And as I was meditating on that, what spoke to me was that that's exactly what Christ does with us, is he calls us out. And he names us, and he pulls out of us that anointing that the Father's given us, our giftings and our callings. See, he saw Peter as a rock, even though Peter had no clue that he was a rock. And so from that moment on, Jesus viewed Peter in light of his anointing, not his fallenness. So even though Peter went on later to deny the Lord 3 times, Jesus didn't view him in light of that. He was still rock. But in one of the scriptures there where he talks about, you know, you are rock, but on this big rock, in the original language, it's like Petra and Petrus. I know enough to be dangerous, but one means little rock, pebble, and one means giant rock. He said, so you're this pebble, but on this giant rock, I'll build my church. And that rock was the revelation that he was the Christ, that Jesus is the Son of God, both God and man fully, 100%, 100%, not half and half. That's the revelation on which the church is built. And as we walk out our lives in that revelation, that not only is he fully God and fully man, but we exist in him because of the love of the Father. That because of this thing called blood covenant, we have been made one with him, a joint heir of all that the Father has. That is so huge to try to wrap your head around. See, God no longer sees us in our fallen state. We've heard Bishop talk about before that man died on the cross, that fallen person. And I was raised to life with Christ. And now wrapped up, tied up, and tangled all up in Jesus is how the Father sees me. There's no separating. When he says, nothing can separate you from the love of God, that's what that's talking about. You are so much a part of Jesus that you can't separate where you end and he begins. That's the goal, right? So as I was meditating on that in blood covenant, see, in the West, we don't have a real good view of what blood covenant even means. I think that's why the church in Africa is so strong, because culturally they understand blood covenant. It's not a contract. It's not a handshake. It's life and death. And so if you haven't ever studied blood covenant and you don't know, here's an example. Say if you have a pygmy tribe in Africa, they're farmers. They're little. They're not warriors. They can't really protect themselves. They make food. They're good at it. And you have a tribe of warriors. I can't even remember the name of them. There you go. Zulu warriors. And they're huge. They're strong. But they don't grow food. And so the chiefs of these 2 tribes come together and they say, let's be one. And blood is cut and mingled. And a covenant is established that you are now Zulu and we are now pygmy. And if anybody comes against you, they come against us. If anybody comes against you, they come against the King of Kings in his fullness and power. That's what scares the enemy about this revelation of what it is to live in Christ and who you really are. Because if he can keep you deceived about who you really are, he's got you under his control. But when you wake up and you see that you are woven into the very fabric of Christ's existence, not just from the cross, but from the foundation of the world when God made that plan. The enemy cannot prevail against you. He cannot prevail against the church. As long as we walk in that revelation, as long as we keep understanding that this is who we are. So, blood covenant. Names are exchanged, like I said. We'll be Pygmy, you'll be Zulu. We are now known as one. It's the same way in which we are seen as Christ. Father believes Jesus about us. And when he views us through that lens. And so as we think about that, and as we start walking out this new season of Lent that just started Wednesday night, and we spend time fasting and praying, remembering that that's not a way to get God to do something, that we're not bargaining with God by fasting and praying, trying to get him to move on our behalf. He has moved on our behalf, and as a response of love, we then fast and pray and sacrifice of ourselves because of what he did for us, not to get something from him. We already have everything. We're seated in heavenly places, surrounded by all the blessings. So as we come today and encounter Christ in the Eucharist, and we're reminded of the blood that put us where we are, we can walk away from here today whole, healed, in peace, knowing that everything we need has been provided. This is our touchstone. This is the Ark of the Covenant, the mercy seat. This is the throne of grace to which we boldly run to receive help in the time of need. This is what anchors our soul into the understanding that we are in Christ. And that's why the enemy hates it so much. And that's why for centuries it's been fought over and battled over. And like, well, it's just bread and grape juice, or it's just bread and wine, or it's just... No, it is the reality of the covenant of God laid out before us every time we come together so that you don't forget. You see, that word, to do this in remembrance of me, is not a fond thought. It's not... Oh, we were at a picnic last year and I remember that thing you did for me. It's not that. The word is anamnesis in the Greek, and it means to make present now, here, tangibly, the reality of what happened then. This is the place we come where time does not exist. We step out of space and time at this altar, and we enter in to the communion of the blessed saints gone before us, kings and prophets and priests of old, to share in that reality of what Christ did for us. Thank you, Jesus, that it's that real. And Bishop loves C.S. Lewis, and I do too. And he had such a way of communicating the faraway country that never is there a place where the veil is so thin than at the altar, where a hand reaches out to me from the far off country to give me everything I need. Amen? Amen? Have a blessed Lent. Enjoy it. It's not a time to be sad or to be beat down or to be reminded of what a worm you are, because you are in Christ. He loves you. He's not mad at you. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. That is the gospel. In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.